small town Jupiter, Florida, and I was I want to say like I had a happy childhood. I was clueless. Like I just was a madman. I mean, all the hints were there early on. You know, like I just was clueless and went from 0 to 60 in a flash. Like I was a handful for my parents. In school, I just struggled paying attention, and that quickly like escalated very fast. Right, like I trying to make it a little bit more interesting for those who've heard this, but like I mean I started very early from family members. Like my house was an alcoholic family that had like codependency issues, and like it was just a lot of drama in the household. So you know, it was it was kind of acceptable to get loaded. So I just ran with that. You know, the first time I tried it, I didn't really fully grasp what I was doing. And then, you know, fast forward to, you know, when I actually knew what I was doing and it was approved by my peers and I was introducing all my peers to it, that's exactly what I did. Like, I got everybody hooked, you know, to come with me and follow me down this path of let's go into the woods and, you know, do whatever I have, you know, because it was accessible to me. You know, my story, out of respect for AA, right, like, I focused on alcohol, but, like, for a majority of my youth, like, drugs were a lot more accessible, you know, but that doesn't mean I didn't. Like, I went to the gas station, and I would hang out there for hours, you know, maybe sometimes hours on end, waiting for the coolest person to come up and, you know, ask him for, you know, buy me cigarettes and buy me booze, you know, and this is, again, young. So juvenile delinquents, you know, delinquency, you know, you start going to psychiatrists and social workers at a young age. You know, they start labeling you with a bunch of stuff, insubordination disorder, conduct disorder, recommending programs, you know, like all this crazy stuff. You get involved in the legal system in order for your, you know, if you are, I don't know, like my parents always tried to keep me out of the system, right? But it always failed. Like I was on probation from 12 years old till I finally got out of, you know, the juvenile correctional facility at 19 years old. You know, like that whole time I violated probation multiple times. I would escape the system because I would go to rehab and say, oh, he's doing this, you know, aversion program, first timers turned into like, you know, okay, now I go in front of the judge when I'm 16, 17 years old, and I have this long history of seeing this guy, and you know, I'm not going to school at this point. I'm not, you know, there is no involvement in my life. Like, it had progressed into this point where all I wanted to do was live this, you know, outcast, rebellious, you know, hoodlum type of lifestyle, and it just ended me up on the rocks, you know, hopeless, helpless, confused, you know, like, and like always in a jackpot, you know, like, I mean, I wanted to die, you know, I wanted to die multiple times. I attempted suicide, right out of jail, basically, because like, I didn't know how to live life. You know, I had been living one way for a long time, and when I got locked up, I didn't want to live that life anymore, but I didn't know how to stay sober. You know, I knew I wanted to stay sober. I knew I had to, because, like, the life hadn't worked out at that point. But there was always that excuse that I was just young. You know, like, I mean, dude, my rock bottom was by the time I was 20 years old. Like, dude, I had already seen stuff that I don't want to repeat. You know, so my youth, excusing that, then I proceed to go drinking, you know, the successful life of drinking, going out to clubs and partying it up, you know, same thing, same result. You know, I'm an addict through and through. I relate to alcohol, I relate to drugs, I relate to gambling, I relate to anything that escapes myself and escapes, gets me out of my head and in between my years, gets me out of that. Let's go for more of that. You know, I will do anything, and I will go to any means, any lengths to get what I want, and selfishly, deceptively chase it. You know, I do not believe I'm the same person here standing in front of you that I was when I was in my addiction. Like, I scared myself. I scared everyone around me. Like, nobody wanted to be around me. I was a complete, utter failure at life, career. Like, there was no hope for me. I am one of those absolutely hopeless types. You know, I pursue into the depths of hell. You know, and into the gates of hell, institutions, death. Like, I mean, I prayed for death on a regular basis, but I'm self-preserving. You know, the addiction in me wants me to live on and just one more. You know, just one more night. You know, it's gonna be better tomorrow, but it always fails. So going into that, getting sober, I had a big problem with like Palm Beach County. I kind of like, I burned it all to the ground. Not to say geographic change helps, but like when I moved away, finally, I moved away to New Orleans and I just needed to restart. I found my substances there. I did relapse one time while I was in New Orleans, but it was a short-lived thing because I knew ultimately, like I had burned everything, Palm Beach down to the ground. I go back to visit family and I'm in and out. 2 days, 24 hours max, and I'm probably maxed out for Palm Beach. So yeah, getting sober in New Orleans, I relapsed for a little bit there, and then when I got sober, I basically, having the experience I had of coming in, bouncing out, I knew the routine. I knew coming into the meetings, I knew that ultimately it was not church, you know, like it was a God, you know, which I believed I really needed a God. You know, I had church failures in my life of trying to get sober. So coming into AA was really like the best option for me. And I dove in. I got my seat. I found my seat. I stayed in my seat. I sat in the front row. You know, like all these things, like because I'm like that ADD type, ADHD type, where if like I sit in the back, I'm going to get distracted. So like I proceed to like get involved, get in the middle, get in like conferences and committees, and I got a sponsor, and worked the steps expeditiously. You know, I took vigorous action. I jumped into the middle of the boat. I wanted to hang out with people that had enthusiasm for this program, and I believe that I had found it. I've taken my, you know, balance. Like I now, like you know, like AA and these the principles have allowed me a wonderful life, right? Like I don't run to a meeting out of fear anymore. Like I run in order to help people and help myself and stay connected to the fellows that like mean so much to me. You know, like I mean, coming from a standpoint of like this is truly life and death for me. You know, like I mean, I take it very seriously. But there's also like this section that's like we're not a glum lot. You know, like I have to live my life, and that's what this has afforded me. Like I mean, I would have had no life. I would have been in a you know in a rundown house and God knows what. You know, I can never predict what's going to happen when I pick up that drug or drink. And so it's kind of like one of these things where I stay in the middle, I stay connected, and I try to live a good life. You know, like, I mean, living by the principles, honest, open-mindedness, willingness, like, I have to remain reinvestigating everything in my life. You know, I have a lot of flaws, I have a lot of defects, you know, historically speaking, like, I mean, it's taken a lot to uncover all of these things. Like, I'm still finding small things out about myself that, like, will totally switch everything up. So when it, like, talks about in this fourth dimension in the book, like, I don't really relate to the white light of it, but I relate to the fact that, like, I have hit my head so many times in here, and I have to persevere. Like, I have to just keep on plugging away, trudging this road to happy destiny. And the promises, you know, like, even though I might say they have come true today, like, I might have to rework it, you know, a month down the road or whatever. Like, I might have to switch everything up. And I always have to reinvest in the fact that, like, I have to invest in what is here, my fellowship, being of service, and my recovery. You know, it's utmost importance, because I will fail if not. Thanks.